What it is, people just, I hate to say it, but people this day and time, they just don't want to work. And go out here and try to get them a job and be productive in life. And, you know, you got some out here, you got a whole lot of people out here, they want somebody to always be giving them something. They don't think they deserve to work. Well, I know what the Bible says. You don't work, you don't eat. And I don't know about y'all, but I like to eat. Yeah, I like to eat. Oh, man. Sometimes I know my daughter's getting on me now. Because for a while I won't eat anything, but now my daughter, she's getting on me and everything. And I noticed too, I'm putting some of that weight back on. I ain't going to do that.
It's not food.
Well, there's something else in. Something. But, all righty. Turn to the book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Let not your heart be troubled. We as Christians today, we still have a troubled heart. Because the individuals that we are around and the other people and anything, and they use the word Christian, they use it so lightly today that we just think about, you don't need talking to them. You can't reason with them. And our heart is troubled about that. That is where now they, within the presidential race and everything, everybody's a Christian. I mean, you know, all the politicians, every last one of them are Christians. But I'll tell you one thing, it's not a one up out that's act like a Christian. And I believe if you're a Christian, you're going to want to act as a Christian. We see where Jesus spoke the words. And Jesus is telling who he's really speaking to here is Peter. Because Peter wanted to go where the Lord was going to go. Because he knew that the Lord was going to leave. And he wanted to go. We see that over there in chapter 13. In the last part of chapter 13. Says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? And this is what Peter said. Verily, verily. The Lord's speaking now. Verily, verily. Surely, surely. I say unto thee, the cock shall crow, shall not crow, till thou deny me thrice or three times. You know, I don't think Peter even realized what he was even talking about. Because with Peter, he couldn't reason with people. He just didn't understand. And he was the same way as the many people today that's walking around today and say, I'm a Christian. Where are you going to go to church at? Well, I don't go to church. I don't think you need to go to church to be a Christian. That's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches that if you love something, you're going to want to be there and you want to make sure that everything goes right. And we know also that people today, they will just use the word Christianity as a byword. They just use it so loosely that they don't even know what it means. You can ask them, what does Christian mean? That means that you're Christian. What does it mean? First of all, it means that you're supposed to strive to be like Jesus Christ. Yeah. And how are you going to strive to be like Christ when you're sitting at home and watching a TV tube? You can't do it. You cannot grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And it's the power. It's His power. We can sense His power as we read the Scripture. Anytime we read the Scripture, and if you have a Bible that where when Jesus is speaking, where it's got the words that He speaks is in red, I tell you, that will speak to you. Why? Because it has power. This whole book right here is nothing but power. Power all through this book. So if we don't have the power of God on our life, it's not our fault. I mean, it's not His fault. It's our fault. Because we don't pick it up. We don't read it. And we don't pray about it. And we don't talk to God about it. But the power that is in His sovereignty. Verse 1. Ye believe in God. That's power. How did I get to that point to where I could believe in God? Well, through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit give me that power that stirred my heart up in a way that where I needed something else. I've tried everything else under the sun. Nothing else would satisfy my soul. And it won't. It won't satisfy no one's soul. Even that individual that's out here is drinking that bottle today. That bottle of liquor and that can of beer and everything, and the dope that they own and everything, that does nothing for them. It don't soothe our conscience. It don't bring about joy. It don't bring about happiness. The only thing that it brings about is sorrow. And who gets hurt? The individual does, surely, but the main one that gets hurt is his family. His wife, where she depends on him in bringing the money in to where she can be able to buy food for the family, buy food and clothes for the children, and then the children. They get hurt. So don't come up to me and say, well, I love my children. How can you love your children when you're going out and doing some of the ungodly things that people do today? I don't see how you can do that. I'm not wired that way. I'm not made that way. But let not your heart be troubled. He said, the reason your heart is not going to be troubled today is because you said you believed in me. Yes, I believed in him. And I trusted him as my Savior. I trusted him as my companion. Yes, I did. He's never let me down. Boy, I've let him down every day. But he has never let me down. He's always there. When I stumble and when I fall, he picks me up. And I thank the Lord that he's got some people around where I'm at, or what if I do stumble. And if I do take a tumble, that it's always somebody there that's willing to come to your rescue. See, he come to my rescue in 1980. And I'm so thankful that he did. Because I didn't have no hope. Oh yes, I was married and I had a daughter. I loved both of them. But I still had no hope. And I didn't have a sense of worth of anything, and my life was just going here or there. It wasn't nothing that was going on in my life that brought any kind of meaning. But since I got saved. And I tell you, he did not promise me that it was going to be a bed of roses. He did not promise you there's going to be a bed of roses. But he did say, he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And he won't. He has never left me. And I thank God for that. He's been there when I needed him. He was there when I didn't need him. He's always there. He's always around. God always puts somebody around his family to pick them up when they fall. Let not your heart be troubled. We don't need to let our hearts be troubled. Why? It's nothing that we can do about it. It's no need in worrying. It's nothing we can do about it. We can't change the fact of what is going on. The only thing that we can do is we can take the day at hand And we can start from there. Why? It's a new day. We can't go back and undo yesterday. Man, if I could go back and undo my past, oh yes, I'd do a whole lot of things different. But I can't. I can't undo it. But he did tell me one thing. Lord have mercy. I love this. He did tell me one thing, and it's in the Word of God. He says, when my only begotten son comes to me and say, Father, just forgive, he know not what he'll do. And the father turns to his son, what does his son say? What sin are you talking about? What sin? It's in the deepest part of the ocean. It's as far as the east and the west. If you go east, you're going to continue going east. You'll go completely around the world. If you go around in a circle, you're going to always go east. But if you go west is going to stop somewhere. Because then you end up going east. You go west. But I don't want to go west. I don't want to go by the way of sin. I want to go by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be behind Him. I want to be able to step in His footprints. So when I step there, then I know that I can. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know that I can face tomorrow. I know that I can face next week. I know that. I don't have no problem with that. I can face it. But I tell you, I can't face it alone. Yes, I have my wife and my daughter, and I got two brothers, and I got a mother, and I got you here. But I still cannot face it alone. Alrighty, goodbye. Bye. Praying for your leg. Hope it gets feeling better.
I hope so. It's throbbing today.
Yeah. But I can't go through life without Him. I realize that, and I know that because I can miss one service here. And I have missed a couple services. And it's like that. If I miss one service, it's like it's been a month since I've been. I never have liked to miss church. Never have. I've always loved to be in God's house. Why? Because it's God's house. It's a house of prayer. That's what this is. This right here is a house of prayer and a house of worship. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to come in here and I'm supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm not supposed to come in here and do anything else. And the way that right now the Lord's got me to worship Him in spirit and in truth, He's called me to preach. Now, I can get up here now. I can get up here and I can feel. Y'all don't know how happy I am. You really don't know how happy I am. Anytime that I can open God's Word and expound upon it and try to teach somebody about it or talk to someone about it, that's when I'm the happiest. That's the when I feel like that I'm not alone. And I know I'm not alone in the other time. Why? Because I believed in God. I believed in what He said here in His book. Now, I'll say this much. I want y'all to go out here and y'all go out here and tell the preachers, the preacher, he done changed it to he done changed. No. I'll say this much, and I'll say it this way. In the life that I'm living right now, I know I could live a little better life as a Christian. But trying my very best in living the Christian life, if I got all the way down to the end, and then people come by and view my body in a casket, and if it, that right there just stopped everything, that was everything. There was no heaven, there's no hell. Still were going the way that I'm going and trying to live a Christian life. But see, I know something a whole lot of people don't know. See, they ain't read the book. See, I started reading it, and I was really curious there one time. I said, I think I'm going to take a peek. I think I'm going to read into the book. When I read the back of the book, and I know how the outcome's going to be. Old Lucifer, old Satan himself, he's gonna be in that lake of fire. And you know what I believe the lake of fire, what I believe the lake is? Is the volcano that is erupted. All the volcano is gonna erupt at one time. Because this liquid, see, it's going to stay liquid. See, you can take gasoline, you can take oil, and you can take it and spray it on a lake. And you can put gasoline in that lake. What is that gasoline going to do? It's going to rise. It's not going to settle down. It's going to rise. It's going to rise to the top. And when it does, and you strike a match to it, you could have a great big lake like that. It can be completely engulfed with flames. But did you realize that you can jump in the middle of them flames and you can go up under the flames? And you'll never be burned. Why? We see the lake of fire. The lake is going to be a little fire
top to the bottom. Where the worm dies not. Where there's no power.
There's no sense of urgency upon the individual. Why? Because they're going to want to go out here and try their very best. To get out of it and to hang themselves. Over here in the book of Mark, I'm going to read this in chapter 10, I think. It's chapter 9. A lot of part of it. Chapter 9 and verse 42. Says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone will hung about his neck, and he will cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed. That's what he's saying is, maimed, that is saying, don't have no hands, period. But we've always thought it meant one hand. But no, I believe what he means there, both hands, where it's going to be maimed. Then having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where thy worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offends thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where thy worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eyes offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Wherefore, where thou worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Three times spoke of his hands, spoke of his feet, spoke of his eyes. It's better for an individual to walk around on this earth without any hands, with no foot, and with one eye. They're better off in that situation, in that realm of life, that where they won't die, where the worm will not die. It's better for them You can ask, I guarantee you, I can ask Brother Stamps. I said, Brother Stamps, someone asked you a question. And you give me your honest opinion about it. You say that you're blind. I don't know if he's legally blind or whatever. I said, but I want to ask you something. I said, would you rather have your eyesight back, seeing 20/20, and go to hell? Or have your eyesight like it is right now and go to heaven? No doubt. Yeah, I know doubt. I know what he would say. And I believe y'all do too. That he's a... No, right now I can see my Lord. Just think about it. It's just not him. All the others. All the other Christians too. That are blind. When they get to heaven, the first thing that thy eyes is going to behold is the Lord Jesus, excuse me. I mean, he can see him by faith. And that's all the thing we can see him by, is faith. We can read about him, and we can read about what the book may say that it will act, what it looks like. But we really don't know. They don't know. We don't have the original manuscript. So what man has put in there, they don't know. It's just something that they translated from the Greek and the Hebrew to the English-speaking people. But they could have got some of the Greek and Hebrew wrong. I'm going to tell you something. I would love to be right behind Brother Stamps as he walks in. And Peter ain't gonna be at no gate. As Brother Stamps walks in, as he sees his Lord. Whew. You talking about shouting. Now I believe he's gonna do some. Because he don't mind it here. I tell you, he don't mind it. And he's blind and he can't see. But he has trusted somebody. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trusted him. And I've trusted him. And you have trusted him. And yes, and we are blind. We are blind to the fact of what he looks like. So when we get there, we're going to all be amazed. That's when somebody comes up. That's when, if somebody comes up to me and they things, they say, well, how you doing? I said, I'm doing all right. And I'll come back to them and I said, man, you should have looked good. Looking good today. You know, me? No, I'm looking good. I look like someone that took me back in the barn, took an old cord of wood out there, and
They just beat me all around the wood pile, and then when they got through with that one stick, then they pick up another stick. They just kept on beating me. I said, but you do look good. He said, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, I said, you know something? I've never seen anybody, nobody on the face of this earth that's ugly. I haven't. I've seen some people where they could have maybe fixed themselves up a little bit, but they are not physically ugly. Say, preacher, you think you get crazy now. I know some people out here. They turn my stomach if I look at them. Oh, you must realize it's one thing. They are made, and they was created in the image of God. That's who they was created. In the image of God, in the image of His Son. And I don't know what Jesus looked like. I don't know what God the Father looks like. Do you? Nope. Am I going to say, well, you know, the Father, he could have made me a little more handsome than what I am. You know, He could have done this for me a little more and then all that. He said, I said, because he can't look all that good. I don't know. But I know within my heart He saved my soul. And He don't remember my sins anymore. And He just don't remember my past sins. He don't remember my sins of today. And He don't remember my sins coming to the next week or next month. Why? Because see, He's pardoned us. He has pardoned me away from that. And I'm so glad. No, my father's not ugly. And my brother, my elder brother, the Lord Jesus, he's not ugly. They're handsome. They're beauty. Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom. We're His bride. We are the church. I tell you,
our hearts today are so troubled, down with heartaches, despair, and everything. Because of the way that people are living. Says that they're a Christian. You cannot be a Christian and live the life that some of them are living. You cannot be a Christian and not want to be in God's house. I understand sometimes you can't make it when sickness comes. I understand all that. But don't say that you're a Christian if you never come to church. I just don't believe it.
I just don't believe an individual can be a Christian and not never go to church.
Because the same Holy Spirit convicted my heart that convicted your heart.
And they convicted, and it was supposed to be the same Holy Spirit that convicted our heart also. And two, it's the Holy, it's God the Father and God the Son. They've never changed. And they're not going to change. They're not going to change for me. They're not going to change because I'm going to ask them to be. It's not for me to go and change them. It's for them to come change my heart. And I'm thankful that he has. And I love my Lord. Why? Because he's precious to me. He's done something for me that nobody else could have done. And on top of that, he done something for me that well, nobody else would have done it for me. Nobody else would have an idea. And died. Well, they placed him up on the cross. Nobody out here would have done that for me. Even as much as I know my family loves me, they wouldn't have done it. I know that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't have done it for them. I'm just being honest. But he did it for me. See, he called me his friend. He called me his friend before I ever called him a friend. When he called me friend, then when I got saved, then I could call him. He is my friend. He sticketh closer than a brother. He's always there. I never have to wait on him. I never have to go there and again and look out the window and see if he's coming. I never have to go and sit beside the phone and wait for a call from him. No. He's got a direct line. He's asking me to call him, to talk to him. And I called him, and I talked to him. He don't talk, I ain't talking about him, he's talking back to me with a mean spirit. That's what I'm talking about. But he's speaking to me. And I love him today. I just pray, Lord, this is my prayer. That the Lord will do something. That would get a hold of the people's hearts. That has come and visited and I'm not belittling. just ain't been in church that much and everything. But my prayer is that the Lord would convict our heart in such a way that they would fear Him. They would start thinking about death and start thinking about when you pick up your paper and when you read your obituaries. There's not a one that's in your paper. Today, yesterday, last week, there's not a one in there. Was expecting it. To die. They weren't expecting it. Because I believe that they was expecting it. And if people was expecting it, people would be in the house of God. Mary Jo King. And I know that you're doing, you're praying, and you're calling, and you, and that's all we can do. But we need to do it now in a way that we need to allow the tears to come from our face. That your tears would drop to the floor. And as they drop from the floor, that the Lord was seeing an individual's name on their tear. So what would you pray for? I don't go out visioning like I started out. I can't do it. And it's not that I'm saying that I can't or I won't do it. I wish I could do it. I really do. But right now, I just can't do it because I never know when I may take it tumble. Never know. My wife, she says she'd go with me some, but I know she's got other things she wants to do. And Brother Bill, he said he'd go with me. I know that. He would. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell y'all something. Maybe some of y'all don't know. Basically, what I've done, I've just about given up driving. I can't do it anymore. I just can't drive. Because every time that me and Bill goes out, and if I'm driving, I'll scare him to death. And like y'all think, he's buried to have a heart attack or something like that. And I mean, right now, I'm just praying the Lord just touch his leg. If the Lord just, nothing else, just give me some more legs. I mean, I ain't going to say that because he might do that. Do something like that. But I do. I love going on and talking to people. Inviting them to church. Like the other week, me and Brother Bill, we got together. And we went up with Brother Dad and we called him at home. We had a real good visit. Good indeed. Please stop, Bob.
Amen.
The good spirit to have. But I don't know what he's working. He works a whole lot of weekends and busy. I understand all. sin to you. That God can give them another job, making three times more wages than they can. But I just really would. I cut this part out. I really want y'all to pray for me. Pray that the Lord would touch my legs. I mean, as far as my kidney, my liver, I mean, I can deal with that later. I want him to touch my legs. And I don't know if it's something that is in my life that y'all know something about that's hindering the work here. Please let me know. So I don't want to hinder the work. I really don't. I want to see people saved. I want to see what people say. I want to see what people will start coming in. And once we get the baptistry in shape, cleaned out, get it working good, then we can start using it. I know right now it seems like I'm just rambling. Boy, that's what I'm going to do. Rambling, but, you know, I thought about it. I mean, really, I have really pondered over it. There's got to be something in my life. And I prayed the Lord, and I've asked Him to reveal it to me. But He hasn't revealed anything yet. Because I don't want to be a hindrance here. I don't want to be a hindrance to you, any of y'all, but I do know this. That as far as our finances are going, we're not going to be able to go much longer. I mean, I know the Lord, you know, the Lord can help. And I know the Lord has always been there for us. He's always been there for y'all too, before I even come. But we must do it, and I believe where it's going to have to start is at the foot of the cross. Just people just making a move, just come forward. If it's not in one pew, please, you're saying to the Lord, Lord, now, we want you to do this. Hey, and He don't want us to beat around the bush. He wants us just to come to us and say, Lord, you saved us. You saved me. You called me to preach. Now you open the door and call me down in faith. Now, Lord, now I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I think that's what we've got to do. Just got to say, Lord, hey, we're taking you with what your word says. Because well, I'm going to talk to Brother Bill about something. But then
each and every one of y'all. Hallelujah. And if there's anything ever that I can do for you, if I can do it, I will do it. If I can't, I will definitely do something that I think is more powerful than anything, and that's prayer. Prayer is power. And who's the power source? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Father. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just help each one of us, Father, to go through the remainder of this day. And Father, just loving you more. Father, sometimes I know that you seem like that maybe I might not even love you, but I do. I love you, Father. Because you are my strength. You are the one that comforts me. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray for each one of the people that's here. You know each one of our needs. You know the financial needs. You know the spiritual needs, Father. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you may meet the needs, the desires of the heart. And Lord Jesus, we just ask in Father's name that what your word said, we have took it to what it is saying is the truth. That we cannot do it without you. We know that. I know that, Lord. I cannot even do anything without you. And I'm asking, I'm begging. Now, Lord, for you to touch the hearts of the people. Father, touch the hearts of the people that has come. And Father, in the past they've come, but it's been a while since they've been here, Lord. We pray, Father, that you may just allow the Holy Spirit to convict our heart. Help them to realize that they need to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, for the Christian that says that they're Christian, but they said they don't have to go to church. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit will convict our heart in such a way that they can feel a tug from thee. And Lord, we just want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for your precious word. We want to thank you for prayer, that we can come and we can talk to you. Yes, Lord, we love to talk to you. But there's so many out here that, yes, Lord, you are hurting. You are longing to hear from them. So, Lord, I pray that you just touch their hearts. Do what you have to do here to where Faith Baptist Church can gain a little more people. Father, because we don't want to get to the point that we have to start thinking about maybe dropping missionaries or something like that, Father. We don't want to do that. But Lord, we do know, we realize, Lord, unless you intervene, Father, the church cannot keep going like it's going. So, Father, right now, I'm going to thank you ahead of time in what you're going to do. Because I know that you're going to do your part. We thank you for that. And we love you, Father, today. And I thank you for the answer and prayer. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.